Okay, so we'll move into the message portion of the service next. The message portion. This is the part where somebody has a sermon prepared, and they give that sermon at that time. So who is that person? I'm kidding. I don't actually have a sermon prepared, but I was telling Laura on Wednesday or Thursday or something like that. I said, "Hey, Laura, I was reading out of Genesis, and I want to share something with you." And so then I said something like a couple days later. It's like, "Hey, I want to talk to you about something because I was looking through the Word and I saw this thing and it kind of inspired me a little bit, and we just hadn't had a chance to talk about it. So now's our chance. We get to talk about it a little bit. So this is not really a sermon. Instead, this is a quote, been thinking about this. So that I'm going to share what I've been thinking about a little bit. And so for all I know, this may be like a 6-minute sermon. So you guys are just lucking out today, I guess. But I want to read a little bit out of Genesis, actually 6, 7, and 8. This is the story of the flood, of Noah and the flood and the ark and all the animals and the rainbow and all of that. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's actually a rather long story in Genesis because it's an important story. But I want to give just a couple of things that I've been thinking about out of this passage. So it starts in Genesis 6, verse 9. This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Now that's kind of like the summary statement of this is what you need to know about Noah. Hey, he's a righteous man. He's blameless among the people of his time. And he walked with God. And he had three sons, Shem and Ham and Japheth. Now in contrast, verse 11, the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So this is a really, really serious situation. I'm sure that many of you have read the story of Noah and the ark many times before. You've probably seen it in Sunday school, and they made a movie about it, last year, and stuff like that. And a lot of times when we come to the story of Noah and the ark and the flood, it seems like, for whatever reason, this is one of those that they always have for kids. You know what I mean? It's a great kids story because you get to have a great big boat and all these cute animals, and there's always a big pretty rainbow in the background, like over the ark and stuff. You know what I mean? You've seen these things. And we kind of, I don't know, we kind of dress up the picture a little bit. We clean it up and we make it real, real pretty. We make it very approachable, even for kids. But that's not how this story starts at all. It starts that you got Noah, and he's a great guy, blameless among the people of his time. He walked with God. And in contrast, God says, I am so sick of this place. I am so sick of all of these people all over the earth creating all this violence that I think I will kill all of them. All of them. Every single one of them. At the same time, I will get rid of them. Because all they do is they bring violence and they are corrupting my plan. I had a good plan. I made this earth. At the end, I said, it's all good. In fact, it's all very good, and now we have all these people who are messing it up. It reminds me a little bit of my house sometimes. Maybe you can relate to this in some way. It's like, you know, I'm the one at my house that arranges the furniture. I don't know who does at your house, but I arrange furniture, and I put it all like just where I want it, and sometimes, you know, like you put something nice on this table because this is special to me. You know, it's something that my grandma got me. I'm going to set it up kind of high because it's breakable. And you get, you know, the room all set up just right. And then you have kids. And then the kids come in and they got like, you know, dirty hands and pizza on them, and they bring in animals, and they spill chocolate milk right in the worst places, and then they take a I heard it happen sometimes that they'll actually take a hot pink Sharpie and they will write all over your beige carpet. Yeah, those kind of things happen. And that comes out with vinegar, by the way. If you just scrub vinegar on it, it even will take out hot pink Sharpie off of beige carpet. But there are times whenever I'm like, oh, but I set this all up, and it's just how I want it. And these kids, one day, no. But I think we can identify a little bit with how God feels in that sense that He's created this earth, this paradise in a sense. And yet us, through our sin, we bring ourselves into it, and we mess it up. And so God says that this time, everything's full of violence. The earth is corrupt. All the people have corrupted their ways. So I'm going to put an end to it. So that's the picture in Genesis 6 here. And so, verse 14, He says to Noah, so make yourself an ark. Make yourself an ark. I'm sure that Noah had not built a boat before, certainly not one this big. He gives all the dimensions and everything. Make yourself an ark. Down to verse 17, it says, because I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under heaven, every creature that has the breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. Verse 18, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark. You will enter the ark. Now, I think a lot of times when we talk about the story of Noah and the ark, I know that I've gotten wrapped up in details like, how did all the animals get there? You know, it says that God just brought them there, but, you know, I kind of scratch my head and I think, how does that really work? How did all the animals get there? And once they got inside, how did they know where to go? I mean, there's only 8 people, only 8 zookeepers, really, on this ark. So how did all of that work out? And where did he put them all? I suppose he had stalls for them all. And think of all the food. And then we also enter into the question, exactly how big was this flood? Was this covering the entire earth? Was it covering a portion of the earth? How many square miles was this? And we think about these types of things, and those are important questions of the text. But as we step back from it and we think about the overall picture of what's going on here, this is a story of redemption. This is a story of salvation. It's a story of how God has a plan in order to save his person, and he calls out to that person, Noah, and he says, I have a plan to save you, and what I need you to do is to build an ark. I need you to build an ark, and then we can work together on my plan in order to save you and your family. So keep that in mind a little bit as we continue here. This is a story about redemption, about the way that God calls his people and asks them to respond in faith and obedience. And so, important verse here at the end of chapter 6, verse 22, says this, Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. This is a story about obedience and faith. And so we see that in Noah. He's obeying God just as God commanded in the building of this ark. So let's see here. Then we have the whole story about bringing all the animals in, and it starts to rain. I'm in chapter 7 now. Chapter 7, verse 13 says, on that very day, Noah and his sons, together with his wife and the wives of his 3 sons, they entered the ark. This is on the very day that the rain starts. And it says, the floodgates of the heavens were open, and the springs of the deep, they burst forth. And it was on that day that they all jumped in the ark. And at the end of that paragraph, in verse 16, it says, and then the Lord shut him in. And then the Lord shut him in. I love that picture. At the end, once it's all the rain's coming down, I can just imagine that everything looks completely chaotic. If you can imagine the great deeps out in the middle of the ocean, they just burst open and there's water going everywhere and the rain's coming down, and you got all these animals on the boat and they get them all in there, and then it says, and the Lord shut him in. I think the Lord, with his own hand, he took the door to the ark and he just closed it up. Because it was God's plan, right? Everything was going according to God's plan. Because Noah was being faithful and obedient, he got all those crazy animals into the boat, and the Lord shut him in. So then the next chapter, or the next paragraph or so, basically says, and then everything died. That's kind of what it says. Every living thing that moved on the earth perished. We're talking about all the rest of the animals, all the rest of the people. Every living thing on the face of the earth was wiped out. And the end of chapter 7 says, only Noah was left and those with him in the ark. The waters flooded the earth for 150 days. And here's what I've been thinking about. The next verse is, according to most of the guys that write commentaries and that kind of stuff, they say this is the most important verse in the whole story. Chapter 8, verse 1. But God remembered Noah. It seems like kind of a small thing. God remembered Noah. But it's the most important thing that happens here. It's because of Noah's faith in God and his obedience to God that God looked upon him. God remembered him. God saw him in his plight and remembered him. Like I said, this isn't really a sermon. I've been thinking about these things. I was thinking about communion and about how communion is our responsibility to remember God. Remember what he has done. Remember the sacrifice that he's made on our behalf. Remember the fact that he chose to come to this earth to live with us. Now, in this one, it says God remembered Noah. In a sense, God remembered his people. Because it wasn't just Noah, it was Noah and all of them on the ark there. God remembered them and took care of them. In that word remember, it doesn't just mean, oh yeah, it kind of jogged my memory and now, oh yeah, I hadn't been thinking about him, but now all of a sudden I did. In the same way that communion isn't I forgot, this whole thing's about Jesus, right? It's communion, so now we remember him. I'd forgotten about him. It's not about that. It's about, in my heart, I treasured that memory. In God's heart, as he thought about Noah, about that righteous man that was blameless amongst his people and who walked with him, he treasured him, cherished him, remembered him. And loved him. And so he delivered him through the flood. Here's what it says in 1 Peter. I got to find it here. 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 18. It says this. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. So here in this picture in 1 Peter, we're talking about the heart of Christianity. We're talking about the gospel here. Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. That's the very core of the message that we preach. And then Peter kind of goes into a seemingly little tangent where he says, and this reminds me of the story of Noah. This whole thing about somebody bringing you to God, it reminds me of Noah, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. Only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. Only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And here's the other part about what I've been thinking about. Saved through water. In what way did the water save them? In what way did the water save them? I think it's an important question because the very next verse is, and this water, meaning the water of the flood, this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. That's a challenging verse, I'll be honest to you, isn't it? Okay, so Noah and his family were saved through water, and now we observe baptism. Picture of what happened in the flood. But it's cool because, as I said, the story of Noah is a story about redemption. It's a story about salvation, about God seeing his person, remembering him, and then bringing him safely through the water. Safely through the water. So if you say, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through the water, I think what we need to see there is that they're not saved by the water, right? The water is a representation of death, of sin, of judgment, of all the chaos that's happening. The sin, or the water is a picture of God's wrath poured out on the earth, on rebellion and violence and all of that. And Noah and his family are saved right through it because he built an ark, right? He had an ark. And so he was saved right through that water. There's death, there's destruction, there's chaos, there's all kinds of craziness going on all around him. And he's saved right through it. Saved through the water. It's a picture really similar to Moses and the children of Israel. And they come to the Red Sea. And it's a big problem because there's like a finger of the ocean right there. And so, but God parts the water, as you remember, parts it, and they walk right through it, right through the water. Now remember, the water, it's a picture of death because we all drown in water, and we find that out. That's the thing that happens next, isn't it? They all safely get through, and then here comes Pharaoh's army, and they say, hey, look, there's a way safe through the water. So they go through, but then the waters crash in on them, and every single one of them dies. It's kind of a picture just like the flood. Noah and his family saved right through this dangerous situation, and yet all the rest of them perish. What was the difference? Noah had an ark. Noah had been obedient. He had believed what God had said, and he had faithfully built an ark. And so in this passage here in 1 Peter, he says, in it only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience towards God. It's a pledge of a good conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You and I also have been saved through water. Saved by the resurrection, but saved through water. And that water, as I've said, is a picture of sin. It's a picture of judgment. It's a picture of death. It's a picture of all the calamities that happen in our lives. And so this is kind of the end of the I've been thinking about message that we have today. I guess my question for myself in reading this, and my question for you, is simply this: what is it that you're in the midst of today? What is the calamity or the trouble that you find yourself in the midst of today? And is it possible that you can trust God to save you through that? Is it possible that you can trust Him to deliver you through what you're facing today? Now, it may take some effort on your part, because it certainly did for Noah. It took him about 100 years to make this boat that he had to make. But he trusted God, and he was obedient step by step, followed it exactly how God said. God has also given us kind of a blueprint of the things that we should do for Him. In many ways, this book is a picture of the ark. It's very specific, just like how the directions for the ark was very, very specific. But through it, we can find peace, and we can find deliverance from troubles. Now, let me ask you, before we close, when Noah was saved through the water, does that mean that the water went away? It doesn't, does it? Unfortunately, it rained all over him. I have a feeling that Noah probably got rained on a lot. I bet he got very wet while he was being saved through the water. Nevertheless, he came out on the other side still alive. He was delivered through the storm. And I think that we can be also if we look to Him and trust Him. And so that's what I've been thinking about. Let's stand and we'll sing.